You know, I am really blown away by the cross-party interest in Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whom I recently interviewed, and you can watch that full interview on Brightown.com. But as I said in opening that interview, you know, look, my values are conservative values, and most of the people that I speak to have conservative values, and yet also at the same time, most of the people I speak to also support Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running as a Democrat. So if you're wondering what is this, how does that happen, allow me to explain something. And first of all, it is true, if anybody's wondering, it is true that I said on a podcast that I would never vote for a Democrat ever again. That is absolutely true. I did say that. And yet I'm going to give myself a kind of a technical out in this case, because I do intend to temporarily switch my party to Democrat affiliation, which I know seems stunning, just to vote for RFK in the Democrat primary. And you know, I mean, come on, we got to get him in there. I mean, Biden, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So yeah, I'm going to help him get the nomination on the Democrat Party. And the way I'm going to justify this to myself and to you is very simple. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. rises above party politics. The D next to his name is just, I mean, it doesn't even describe the man. First of all, most of his values, if you think about it, are conservative values. I asked him directly, you know, what do you think about the illegal immigration problem? And he's like, we have to lock down the borders. We have to have completely secure borders. He's all in favor of that. In fact, you know, his values really reflect his uncle, John F. Kennedy, who was, of course, assassinated by the CIA. And yet JFK had traditional American values for the most part. And in fact, he was at war with the deep state, which is why the deep state took him out. And RFK Jr. actually shares, I think, most of those values. He is a pro-American, pro-human person. He's not a Democrat in the way I define modern Democrats. And by the way, as proof of that, the Democrat establishment is trying to railroad RFK. So the fact that they reject him, you know, the DNC establishment, they reject him. They don't want him to have a voice. They don't want him to be president. That tells you that the Democrat establishment doesn't consider him to be one of them. I would never vote for one of them. I would never vote for one of these insane virtue signaling, you know, crazy child grooming pro-pedophile, you know, left-wing radical Marxist lunatics, obviously. But RFK is none of those things. He's been a lifelong Democrat, and that's the party that he knows and is running under, and I support him as a human being. I do not support either the Democrat Party establishment nor the Republican Party establishment, for that matter. And now that we're talking about that, they're trying to railroad Trump. So think about this. The DNC is trying to silence RFK, and the RNC is trying to silence the DJT. And that tells us that we should support RFK and DJT, because we need candidates that will tear down the corrupt criminal cabal establishment. That establishment is the root of the evil that we're all suffering under in this country. And that establishment must be dismantled. And one of the best ways to do that is to get someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. into the White House. If Trump is aligned with Pfizer, because I've also said this publicly, I've said I cannot support any candidate that is in bed with Big Pharma, period. I can't. So it's up to Trump. I think that Trump would lose a lot of support. People would go over and vote for RFK instead of Trump if Trump sticks with his current tripling down on the vaccine and pharma and Pfizer. And that's why I think actually RFK could win the entire thing. He could win the election if he gets the nomination for the Democrat Party, because there will be so many people leaving Trump and switching to RFK. I mean, literally switching parties because they believe so strongly in the issue of health freedom, and they believe that vaccines are dangerous and that Big Pharma is evil, and that we've got to dismantle the NIH and the Fauci fraudsters and the gain of function research and the whole vaccine industrial complex, which is a bioweapons complex, by the way. We've got to dismantle all that. And in order to do that, we need somebody in there who understands these issues. And frankly, RFK Jr. has a much better grasp on these issues than does Donald J. Trump. That's just honestly stated. No judgment against Trump. I'm just telling it like it is. Now then, you know, it's interesting. Trump is really strong on other issues, such as domestic energy. And I talked to RFK Jr. about climate and about energy, and I even mentioned CO2, and I said, hey, you know, CO2 is necessary for photosynthesis. And he responded by saying, well, he believes that carbon is the cause of climate change, and he's very much against coal. And that coal, he said, causes a lot of pollution, a lot of environmental destruction, and so on. And so where Trump is going to be pro-coal, pro-fossil fuels, pro-natural gas, and so on. And so there's an interesting contrast right there. I did point out to RFK that, because he said we want to have, you know, solar panels, build out more solar panels, build out more wind farms. I did point out to him, you know, just politely, because it's not a, wasn't a debate. I'm interviewing him. I'm just interested to hear his views. But I did point out that, you know, we need better battery storage or energy storage technology in order to make wind and solar work. We're not there yet. And we don't have a transmission grid that can transmit all that power. And he agreed. He understands that point very clearly, that he says we'd have to make major investments in the energy transmission grid in order to provide power where it's needed, when it's needed. So he's well informed about a lot of issues, but he's definitely completely opposed to coal. And I think that wind and solar still have a lot of limitations, by the way, because the wind doesn't blow all the time, and solar only works during the day. And yet you have a lot of demand for energy in the evenings, especially if you have a lot of electric cars being charged on the power grid. You're not going to be able to charge those cars with solar. And solar also depends a lot on mining, by the way. But again, I didn't have him on to debate him on these issues, but I'm just pointing out between you and me that if you want to build a massive solar farm to power the country on solar, well, somebody has to do a lot of mining. You know, you got to mine the copper, you got to mine all the rare earths and all the minerals in order to make the solar panels. And so, you know, if you're opposed to mining coal, seems like you would also be opposed to mining, let's say, other minerals that go into making solar panels. Except, I suppose you could argue that, well, that mining only has to happen once, and then those solar panels continue to generate energy for, you know, a couple of decades, which is true. So there are arguments and subtleties on both sides of this debate. That is absolutely the case. On the coal issue, by the way, I would just point out China's burning all the dirty coal, and China's not doing anything to shut down coal. So why should America shut down coal if China is polluting the world with dirty coal? They don't even have the coal scrubbers. I mean, not to the extent that we do in America. So, and China is not part of the climate accords or anything where they're reducing. No, China's just like, we'll pollute the whole northern hemisphere, right? So why should we cripple our energy infrastructure if the other players aren't going to go along with the same thing? But ultimately, I think this is all obsolete, ultimately, because I think we're going to go to fusion. We're going to have hot fusion and cold fusion, both, for different purposes. Remember, cold fusion, called low-energy nuclear reactions, or LENR, is very, very slow. It produces excess heat. It heats water. And not even very fast, by the way. Whereas hot fusion requires multi-billion dollar large government-funded projects to produce excess energy. And so hot fusion still supports a centralized power grid, whereas cold fusion would be low-cost distributed units, more of peer-to-peer power or self-contained power, but it's at least a decade away from being properly commercialized to where you can run your house on it. Maybe more than a decade, but I do know that certain boiler companies are already licensing cold fusion technology in order to heat water in boilers. So that's already happening, folks. Very few people know about that. And perhaps RFK, he might not be aware of that either. Although I'm sure that once he became aware of that, he would be very excited about that. Because imagine energy without waste products, you know? Nevertheless, I don't want to get too deep into that whole issue right now. All I'm saying is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's a real American. I love the man. He's gracious. He's informed. He's intelligent. You may not agree with him on every single point, and it's still okay because he's the kind of person that you can get along with. He's a healer. He brings America together. And America needs a healing right now. And, you know, one of the criticisms of Trump is that he is quite polarizing at times. And I laugh at that because I just see Trump. He just says it like it is, kind of like I do. But then again, people say I'm polarizing. So what? I'm not here to sugarcoat everything for you, and neither is Donald J. Trump. So I just appreciate the fact that Trump says it rather bluntly. But the truth is that a lot of people are triggered by Trump. You know, a lot of people on the left, they lose their minds. Their heads explode. Whereas Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he has a way about him to talk to the left and the right. And again, because he's got core values that drive what he does. Core American values. Core human values. And I'm not claiming he's some perfect person. I mean, I think he said in his opening speech, his announcement speech, that he's got plenty of skeletons in his closet too. Like every human being does, I suppose. But he's not a perfect person, but he's a person that can help America heal. And right now, we need someone like that. And also, one other kind of criticism of the Trump campaign. Although, again, I support Trump for the nomination on the Republican side, don't get me wrong. But where are Trump's people in terms of reaching out to the independent media? Like, how come I'm not interviewing somebody from the Trump team? Even though I'm publicly reaching out saying, hey, let's talk to somebody from Trump. It doesn't even have to be Trump. Just somebody from Trump's team. I don't know, campaign manager. Marketing manager. Like, where are Trump's people? How come they're not all over, you know, InfoWars and Brighton and other independent media? They should be doing interviews with everybody. They should be doing interviews with Gateway Pundit and Breitbart and SGT Report and, you know, 50 other people. They should be doing those interviews every single day if they really understood what's going on and how you reach the people. And yet, at least my impression is, they're not. I mean, my impression of the Trump team is that it's like the Trump castle surrounded by 15 moats, like all these outer layers of people that are impenetrable. Like you can't get to Trump. You can't reach him. You can't talk to his team members. You can't get across ideas to Trump's people. Whereas right now, even me not being a Democrat, I can get a message to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because his structure, his campaign, his people, they are, you know, approachable. And they're willing to talk to almost anybody. And I mean, I would just say to Team Trump, you know, folks, open up, you know, just get some people out there, do a bunch of interviews, start talking to alt media, because mainstream media is never going to give you you know, their blessing or even allow you to speak. You want to talk to the American public, you go through alt media, which is, by the way, the new media. The only media that actually exists in America is alternative media. I mean, everything else is just propaganda, paid, you know, press releases and CIA hit pieces and whatever. But for whatever reason, the people around Trump, at least this is my impression, the people around Trump, they pay more attention to the New York Times and the Washington Post than they do anybody in alt media, which is a huge mistake. New York Times is not going to get you elected. Alt media is what's going to connect you with the American people. So let's see what happens. Anyway, my door is open to Team Trump. If y'all want to send somebody my way, I say y'all because I'm in Texas. If y'all want to send somebody my way, let's have a conversation and let's get an update from Trump. How about that? Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, Brighttown.com and also naturalnews.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.